Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 78 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We have a really special episode for you guys this week that we're really excited about. We have a special couple. A long-distance couple that we interviewed. Their names are Josh and G. G has a much more beautiful and exciting name than G,
but we can't pronounce it.
It's beautiful, but we can't say it. But they're a really cool couple. They're based in the States. Josh is in the States and G's in Mexico. And they have a really amazing story and project that they do together to help them see each other and pay for tickets. And they also talk to us about something that we think is really important, and that's some of the benefits of long-distance relationships, because that gets overlooked sometimes.
And beyond that as well, they're, as you said, they're still apart, so they're directly affected by coronavirus, and it's affecting their visa situation. So for anyone who's apart, trips have been cancelled, or visa concerns, we know some of you guys are going through that too, that they may have some helpful tips on how to deal with that.
You'll also find out more about, I mentioned a little project, they make some amazing products, beautiful craftsmanship, jewelry.
And they give us a very generous discount.
Yeah, so listeners of Long Distance Marriage can get a 50% off discount using the code LDTM. We'll have that on our Instagram, and we will also have that in the show notes for you. So we really hope you enjoy the episode, you'll get some great tips, and maybe get some really pretty jewelry. Enjoy.
Can you guys just kind of give a quick introduction to who you are, your relationship, and how you got started doing this jewelry?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Josh, and I'll let you introduce yourself, G.
I'm Yekse, but you can call me G, since my name is really exotic. So everyone calls me G, it's way easier. And well, we met, what was it, like 3 years and a half ago, I think?
Yeah, a little over 3.5 years.
Yeah. So our story, it's very funny because I'm from Mexico and he's from the US. And we met on Tinder. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't meet on Tinder. But we met on a karaoke app called Smule. We met through karaoke, which is really weird. Every single time we tell this story, people look at us like, what? So yeah, that's our story. It's pretty cool.
So what's this app called?
It's called Smule, S-M-U-L-E. And it's an online karaoke app where you can sing songs. You can start your own karaoke song, and then people can join you, or you can join other people's songs. But it's also integrated with like a social media aspect where you can chat and comment on people's videos, and you can even create your own songs and have people join you. It's quite interesting.
That sounds really cool.
And annoyingly, we did an episode not that long ago about like different apps and stuff that long distance people could use, and that would have been a really good one to include in there.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So what, you just do you choose your location, or just everyone from all around the world is in one sort of place on the app?
Yeah, everybody's pretty much on the same app, and then you can join subgroups that people join and create friendships, and you can have a group that's basically somebody from all different countries that just create their own group, and then you kind of put hashtags on your songs, and there's
the song that got attention? How did this happen?
Well, I think the first song that we sang together was, I don't remember if it was She Will Be Loved or I Want It That Way from Backstreet Boys.
It was both great songs, though.
I think it was really She Will Be Loved. Yeah.
Do you guys still sing together now?
Yeah, every now and then. We've been busy with other stuff, so we don't really have like the time we used to have before to sing. Like back in the day, we used to spend like over 10 hours in that app just singing with each other or with other people.
So how but did now you we guys, do it like sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. Now we don't do it that often.
So how did you guys stand out to each other in this app?
Well, in this app, you have the option of record a song with just audio or record a song with video, which is interesting because it makes you feel closer to the people when you sing with them and you're looking at them on video. You know, it's more like you feel more real, you know, that person actually exists. So I remember I saw his face and I'm like, oh boy, this is trouble. I had a huge crush on him, like big time. And then we joined the same group, as Josh was telling you. In this app, it's very common for people to get together and have like an online group. And so people share their songs or make like group songs and we all sing together. So Josh was in this group and I'm like, oh, snap.
What was the group called? It was Love Bomb Tribe. We changed it to, but the original name of the group, I can't remember the original name. Fallen Stars, like, something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. I don't know, it was so long ago.
So when did you guys finally meet? How long were you talking, you know, on the app? And then I imagine it went to other platforms as well. But how long until you finally met?
Well, let's see. I think it was only between 6 months and a year that we finally met in person. Is that right? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it is like that. We started talking on the app. We usually used Line. That's another chatting app. So we started having like private conversation, just him and me. And we realized that we have a lot in common. Like it was crazy how like perfect for each other we were, because he's obsessed with wood and he's amazing with working with veneer or wood. He's a great carpenter. And I'm a designer. I usually design furniture and I love designing furniture with wood. So I also love wood. So we were talking all the time about wood and different kinds of wood and projects. So it was just meant to be. And yeah, it was like, it started as a friendship, but then it didn't go that way. It was too perfect to stay just as a friendship. So one day he's like, hey, you know what? Let's get you a plane ticket and I want you here. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. And
what is the distance?
I'm sorry.
What is the distance? Is that what you asked? It's, well, in kilometers, is it 4,000?
It's like 3,000 kilometers and it's like 4,000 miles.
So where are you guys?
I'm located about an hour north of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she's like right kind of in the middle of Mexico. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's quite a distance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. It is. It's luckily it's just one plane. Like if it's a, how do you say it?
Like direct flight? Like a direct flight?
Yeah, if it's a direct flight, it's only 6 hours. It's not that bad. Other people have it way worse. Like I've heard some stories of people in long distance relationships who literally have to cross half the world to see their loved ones. So I think we're really lucky.
Yeah, that's not too bad. It's about half of the flight that
we had. 11 hours.
11 to 12 hours, and then 10 hours going the opposite way.
Yes, it sucks.
Wow.
Were you guys affected by coronavirus? Were you supposed to be meeting up during this time or was it not too bad for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coronavirus really screwed up our plans.
Yeah, we had made some pretty big plans before this all hit, and we were intending on moving forward with we were either going to do a K-1 visa or we were going to try a different route, but we weren't 100% positive. We just knew we wanted it to start soon. When we were last time I was there was it September or when did I leave?
what? You're it was, so confused. It was, you left in February, you know.
February, okay.
6 months off.
Yeah, I'm a little off there, but yeah. So when I left in time kind of.
Yeah, time slow. Is in a tunnel right now. It's really weird.
Yes.
But yeah, we had planned on her being here this next month for my birthday. That was a plan of by then we were going to have started the ball rolling on the next phase. But now this is tough because even the embassies are closed and she can't go to immigration and try to look into the next steps. So it's very difficult for us.
Yeah, that's a good point because we've kind of touched on this a little bit recently, and maybe this we've not spoken to anyone certainly on an episode who's going through it. But you know, we've heard from listeners who said that this has kind of put their visa plans on hold, or they're not sure, like you said, like the embassy's being closed and stuff. Like, what kind of position does that put you in? Is there anything you can actually do right now, or have you just got no choice but to wait before you can even talk to people?
I think what we can do right now is I've been doing a lot of research, and for example, in order to have a K-1 visa, we can start the process. Like, they're not giving any interviews, or the embassies are closed, but you can send the documents and start the process. But the thing is, we wanted me to be able to go to the US again before we started the process, because the process is really long. And once we start the process, I cannot visit the US. So that's why I wanted to come one last time to see all of my friends there, to see his family, so I could have the strength to spend, like, I don't know, 10 months or 1 year without going to the US. Oh, is that how long it's taken? Yeah, it's really long. It's crazy. Well,
and you can't visit?
Before, like 2 years ago, it was like from 4 to 6 months. But now it's like up to 10 or 14 months until you can go to the US again.
So, and Joshua, would you be able to go to Mexico in that time?
I think I would be able to visit her because I do have a passport and my visa. I would be able to visit her probably. But one of the biggest things that made us really want her to come here again was that I have 4 children and she really misses them. And so that's a really important thing for her. She really wants to see them again, all the 4 boys, which is a whole interesting dynamic in our relationship, I will say.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I mean, is there any advice you would give to anyone who's in a similar situation as far as visas and missed travel and things?
And how you're coping, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right, I heard. Okay. Yeah, I guess advice that we could give people is to try to stay patient, really, because it can get really difficult, especially when you don't know what the future holds and everybody's different. You know, we all have different chemical makeups. I tend to be a very positive person, and G is sort of somewhat different than I am in that she has always leaned more toward being realistic and rational and not burying her head in the sand and just thinking everything's going to be fine, but work together to try to understand how the other person is dealing with it, how they're feeling as far as what they can do. I mean, we have sort of a unique situation as well because maybe you can explain, G, but there may be a reason why we wouldn't go with the K-1 visa, and that. So we have sort of a unique situation with citizenship.
So can you explain just for people who don't know what a K-1 visa is?
Yeah, K-1 visa, it's basically a fiancé visa.
Okay.
So if you have a long-distance relationship and your loved one, or you live in the U.S. and your plans are to move to the U.S. and have your relationship in the U.S., you have to order or request a K-1 visa. And that visa allows you as the fiancé or allows you as an American citizen to bring your fiancé to the U.S. so you can get married in the U.S. legally. And then your loved one can stay in the U.S. without having any trouble. And we can request for a green card and then the citizenship. It's like, it's the way to go for long distance relationships that involves the U.S.
Okay.
And were you just going to say something about your unique situation and citizenship?
Oh, yeah. So I recently find out that my grandmother was born in the U.S. So in some cases, that makes it's the law. It's really confusing. So we've been talking to a lawyer so we can figure this out. But in some cases, that will make me able to get a citizenship without going through all this K-1 visa process. And that would be way easier for us. But yeah, we're hoping right now because the embassies are closed. So we really don't have a way to figure this out really right now.
But I guess it's a good time. Like you said, you've been doing your research and that I think that's important for a lot of people right now who are stuck in your position where you're kind of in limbo because you're ready to start making things happen, but you can't because everything's shut down. But I think doing as much research as you can, obviously you need information that you can't get from the embassies, but that's great because when things do start moving, you're ready. And then also it makes you feel like you have some semblance of control and can do something right now, which I think really helps.
Yeah, I will definitely advise doing a little research, like not get obsessed about it. Like I usually tend to do it, but maybe just keep yourself informed and check your sources too, because there's a lot of fake news on the internet. So I always check my sources in order for me to not freak out about the wrong thing. So
yeah, that's really good advice, I think. And I think the immigration process is so overwhelming. I mean, I know America is particularly difficult to get into, but no matter where you're going, it's a lot to take in. And I think you read something and you can so easily believe it. But it's, yeah, like you say, it's really important to verify any facts and check against the immigration for the website for whatever country it is, you know, that these are facts. They have tons of FAQs and documents that you can read through. But yeah, it's a lot. I feel for you guys. It's a crazy thing to be trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, definitely.
It's crazy. This coronavirus, it has to stop.
It's ruined everything.
It has.
It's ruining everything, yes.
It's crazy, like, the stuff, the things that it's affected. Like, of course, it's affected the economy and travel and things like that. But the way it filters down is crazy. Like, the tiniest things that it's affecting, you know, like, a really random example is my brother got a puppy right before this started. And now they're going to have to send him to special training because he hasn't been able to get the socialization that he needs because you can't have people around and it's a big breed dog. So, like, you wouldn't even think that coronavirus would affect buying a puppy, but it has.
So yeah.
It has a way of seeping into everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, but I suppose kind of on the topic of you guys meeting and everything and what we touched on at the beginning of this and the point you made about Joshua being carpenter and good with wood is, can you guys kind of talk about what you do? And I think you said you started doing this in order to see each other.
Yeah. Basically, when I was young, I'll just give a little very quick synopsis. When I was really young, other kids, they read like comic books and stuff like that. Well, I read books about different types of wood species. Now that makes me sort of like,
that's normal kid behavior.
Yeah.
That's like a wood nerd type thing, but like
wood nerd.
I used to be really into woodworking, and I asked my parents to send me to I went to a private Christian school, and I asked them to send me to a public school because I really wanted to get my hands-on education. Like I wanted to pursue that, but they were pretty strict about it and said, no, you're staying at the Christian school. But I've always been obsessed with wood. It's maybe a healthy or unhealthy obsession, I'm not sure, but I used to try to make wood rings when I was younger, but I made them out of solid wood. I didn't know such a thing as wood veneer existed, and they would always break. And so I just gave up, and I said, I guess I'll never be able to make a wood ring. But then eventually I learned about wood veneer, and I started making wood rings that are steam bent, you know, jewelry that is steam bent and almost created like plywood, in that different layers create strength, you know. And so I started doing this before I met G, maybe a couple years before I met her. And I never really designed much, created new pieces, because I was still kind of trying to troubleshoot and figure out how to perfect my art. But it got to a point where I started being able to commission pieces for friends and, you know, charge next to nothing because I wanted people to like me. And then after we met and she came and visited, and she learned the process and started helping me design, and also started, you know, trying it herself, and she was naturally good at it. And I was impressed because I wouldn't let anybody make a ring, cause I was very picky, but she was really good at it. And, I didn't mind sharing my knowledge with her. And we started a company because she's pretty good at branding and those kinds of things. She went to school for that kind of stuff. So, she understood the half of the business that I didn't understand. And together we made sort of a great team. And we started making a website. We made products that would work for people that don't like rings, and just sort of became a way for us to buy plane tickets and see each other without having to absorb the huge cost of tickets, which in our case is not as bad as some people. So
yeah, I mean, and they are stunning.
They're
pieces.
Beautiful. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So I mean, I've just got so many questions, but like, how do you find customers for it?
Go ahead, G. You can talk about it.
Okay. How we found customers? Well, we just started with an Instagram, and at first he didn't really believe he could like turn this into a business, into something that could make him a little money. And but I saw the future, and I'm like, ooh, this is something. So I convinced him to make an Instagram. And once we started that Instagram, we just started inviting all of our friends, and suddenly like we didn't even have to invite anyone. Just people started to liking our photos. And at first we only sold to our friends or close friends. But now we have people from all over the world. Like I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, we sent a order to, what was it? It was New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand. And the same day we sent one to Denmark or something like that. I get confused.
Yeah, but now it's not only our friends. It's a lot of people just looking at the pieces that we make and appreciating them. So. Yeah, so that's how it started.
And it's really cool. So you started incorporating other materials. Like, I think, is there guitar strings and stuff as well? Is that what you're telling?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of our unique part of the business, because there are a few other companies that make wood rings. Mm-hmm. But we were the first ones to start incorporating guitar string. And the way that started was that my brother I took the guitar strings off of his guitar after he passed away, and I decided that I wanted to do something with the guitar strings that would last a long time and not be used up in one piece. And so I started thinking about my rings, and I was like, wonder if I could incorporate a guitar string in there. And so I worked it out and figured it out. And so I was able to make pieces for all my family that incorporated the last guitar strings that he ever played. And that's sort of where it started. And then I just thought, well, I can get guitar strings pretty cheap, and I can put them in any ring and make it look pretty professional as I started learning how to do it better and perfecting it. Then it started to look more professional, and people are surprised at how well it turns out. And so, yeah, it's we use a lot of different stones and precious stones and materials, and I'm sort of a I wouldn't say hippie, but I have sort of like a spiritual side of me that I really like to use materials that incorporate the metaphysical type stuff. And so we incorporate a lot of stuff like that into our rings, and it's quite fun.
They're really cool.
Go on.
No, I remember seeing that post come up about the ring for your brother, because I think we were already talking, trying to arrange stuff at the time. And yeah, it's beautiful, and they're really different. I mean, we've seen some wooden ring companies before. Rich plays guitar, so I know that there's other jewelry that you can kind of incorporate guitar strings in. But this is just so really cool, the stuff you do. And oh, and by the way, it's called Sycamore Tree, right?
That's correct.
And that is my favorite kind of tree. Sycamore tree.
Oh, that's your favorite tree too.
It's beautiful. Love. I grew up in Southern California, so there's lots of sycamore trees.
I'm pretty sure they're everywhere in the world, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But that name of our company was started because that was his favorite tree, Ben, my brother. So it all kind of comes back to the reason that we started the company, that we made the company and branded it that way, was to honor my brother. So it's a pretty neat story behind it, but it's also, it's a pretty great tree. I have to agree with you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, you know, it's really that, yeah, there's a lot of special meaning in that, which I think people who take the time to actually look and read the captions of your posts, because you say a lot of really nice and interesting things, I think. And there's a real craftsmanship, if I can speak properly, which I think people are starting to appreciate again. You know, there's a lot more kind of, I don't know, artistic stuff being made. And I think for a long time, people just wanted to buy
cheap
and what was trendy and quick and, you know, consumable. And I think, you know, there's more artistic people like yourselves doing this. And I don't know, we're just big fans of it. So
but
it's
did
really
you,
cool.
So I'm hoping that people listen to this and then go and look at what you have. Do you take custom design orders or do people just buy what you've already made?
Go ahead, G. I'll let you talk.
We take custom designs. A lot of the designs that we have is just Josh being creative one day, and he just pictures a ring on his mind, and he starts doing it, and then boom, looks beautiful. But also we have custom designs that, for example, we have a lot of customers that they also have lost someone who was very important to them. So now we have been doing a couple rings that involve the ashes of their loved ones. So in this way, they can have the ashes with them all the time. I think it's really beautiful.
That's amazing.
I never thought about something like that. And that idea came from a customer.
And so, no one will have anything like that. You know, it's so personal.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I've heard about like necklaces and diamonds and, you know, stones being made from ashes. But yeah, it's really cool. I think you can incorporate it in different ways. And that, yeah, that's a really special thing to keep.
And I also, because, you know, the thing with a lot of custom work is it can be really expensive. And I remember being quite surprised at how accessible your pricing is.
Yeah, we try to keep it. Go
ahead. Yeah, you go on.
Okay. we started out very cheap. Started making rings because honestly the materials that I started with were relatively cheap for me, because I was used to buying wood that is thick and is expensive, but when they cut it into thin strips, apparently they can get a lot more out of a board. So in theory, the wood itself is still expensive. If you look at it from a package perspective, but the amount that we use in each ring is very small. So if you break it down that way, it's not very expensive to make the rings, but the time is really what we use the most of, and our time to us is pretty valuable. So yeah, we want to keep it cheap because, you know, especially in G's case, we really don't sell many rings in Mexico because it's a very different cost of living type situation there. Everything is a lot cheaper, and it's just a whole different society really as far as how money is spent. And so we find that people in the US are a lot more likely to spend $35 for a ring, and people in Mexico would rather spend about $10. So but we use some precious materials. We use some more expensive and rare woods. then we start to drive the price up a little bit. Or if it goes into the materials like wood or like metal and ceramic, the things that we can't create on our own and we have to order from other companies, then, you know, it costs us a little more money. So we raise the price, but we really don't want people to have to break their bank to be able to get something meaningful to them. And so that's why we try to be very conscious of our pricing. And yes, with the custom orders, we really don't charge anything extra for custom, other than an engraving. We would charge a little bit extra for that. But, you know, we really just want our customer satisfaction is important to us, and we really want to keep that price point low. So.
And while we're on price, for our listeners, we were talking that there'd be you're generously offering a discount code to people that find you through this podcast, right?
That's correct. Yeah, 50% off any item in our store.
And that's with the code LDTM, which we'll put in our episode notes. But that's really exciting. And
we will be using that.
Yeah, I think we're making a list right now of the many, many rings. We both love jewelry. And like I said, Rich plays guitar, so the guitar string stuff is really interesting to him.
Yeah, but the ebony one you've got with the mother of pearl. I'm literally scrolling
through your feed right
now.
He's shopping right now. but I think what's really – I love how entrepreneurial this is, and the fact that obviously you're already doing this, Josh, and it's kind of marries to a passion that you two share. But, you know, long distance is really hard, and I think it's easy for people, and I know we did it, to kind of get – petulant and kind of like, oh, this is so hard, we can't see each other as much as we want, it's not fair. And I'm sure you guys feel like that at times, and obviously you're going through a really difficult time right now waiting to kind of get your life going together. But you did something about it, and you found a way to take something that you loved and that you could do together and you could enjoy and turn it into something. And I just think that a lot of people could take something away from that you know.
Yeah, I really hope it inspires people to do, you know, use their talents and interests. And I really also love that you managed to find a way to collaborate on this and become business partners, you know, cross borders.
Yeah, it's really pretty neat. It's been tough though, because it's been hard on her to not be able to help make the rings, and for me, we do get a little overwhelmed sometimes with orders. And it seems to happen usually when we have a sale, we get a lot more orders. And so I also have a full-time job. So, and my work has picked up a lot. So it's difficult for her. She wants to be able to help more. And yes, she does help with the designs and the posts and stuff like that, but she doesn't feel like she is able to get as involved as she would like. And so that kind of starts to cause an issue personally with us, because I feel like I'm doing a little too much, or she's could be doing more. But it's a balancing act, and it's difficult to be in love with your business partner. Mm-hmm. but it's also rewarding in a lot of ways too, because we can talk about designing a ring when other people might just not know what to talk about. You know, it's sort of like a good gap filler for us too.
Yeah, and how do you go about that? Because just looking through, you know, what you've got on the website, you've got some really interesting materials like crushed opal and, you know, really, really unusual stuff. How do you even start designing that?
Can I say one thing really quickly first to reassure them? If you can make it through working together and being long distance, like, don't worry.
And coronavirus.
You guys are gonna be fine. Like, it is hard. It's hard to do things, projects, podcasts, together. But no, if you can make it through that and you can make it through long distance, which you guys are working really hard at, you'll be good. Sorry, back to your crushed opals.
Crushed opals, yeah. How'd you go about designing?
Well, I guess it started with natural opal, that is incredibly expensive. And I started buying pieces and crushing them up and myself, and I was finding that, you know, even though as a whole opal itself, it's beautiful and iridescent and incredible, when you crush it up it loses a lot of those properties, and it's so expensive that I was not making much money on the pieces. And then there was also a customer satisfaction problem, because G is an excellent photographer, and so she'll take a really great picture and then it's hard for me to live up to the pictures sometimes. When people get an order, they say, well, it doesn't look just like the picture in it.
Is it like when you get a McDonald's and the picture looks incredible when it's really flat bun?
Smash burger.
That's why it's cheap.
It's similar. But yeah, so we started using some of those really expensive materials, and it just kind of certain colors go with other with woods, and you know, so I just started kind of, I'm not a designer, but I can be pretty creative, and my I don't know how what you would call it, my sense of style or my matching abilities are pretty good, so I'm pretty good at that, so I guess I am not bad at design, but
You're a good designer.
Well, thank you. But yeah, so I just started thinking of different combinations, and I started getting a little obsessed in buying every kind of wood I could buy, and possibly not making the money back, but at least having wood for the rest of my life to be able to use. And so, just a lot of different options of wood, and then started just going to rock and mineral stores and buying all kinds of different rocks and seeing how they would work. So there's just not enough time to create all the pieces that I had in my mind, but yeah, its possibilities are endless pretty much.
No, it's awesome. And yeah, it's been fun since we started talking to you guys to see what designs you're putting up on Instagram and stuff. So I think it's really good. And yeah, I think like Rich said, you know, hopefully people can take inspiration, because everyone's got some kind of talent or something they can do. And if you can put that to good use, it can help and make things easier. Like you said, there's challenges with it, but like you said, it absorbs some of the financial burdens of being long distance.
But yeah, and speaking
really
of
really helpful.
Yeah,
it has saved us so many times. Like there has been times in which we want to see each other, but we have a lot of bills to pay, so we're like, oh, I don't know if it's gonna be possible. And then we just make one sale, like we make a promotion, and in one weekend, boom, we have the money to buy the plane tickets. So it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. And so while we're back on like plane tickets and everything, I mean, we've obviously spoken about some of the difficulties of being long distance. Well, what benefits do you guys think there are for, because we know that obviously quite a lot of the times when we hear from listeners is with the struggle that they've got or a problem they're dealing with, or they're finding it hard to be a part. And, you know, we've kind of said in one of our early, I think episode two, actually, that you know, we focus on the benefits because they're quite often overlooked. So we like to get input from our guests. So if you've got anything you think how they're beneficial?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think, before I met Josh, I didn't really believe in long distance relationships. I thought people in long distance relationships were really dumb, to be honest. I was like, oh, what are you doing, you fool? That's crazy. And now look at me, 3 years with this man. And now I understand why. I think when you're in a long distance relationship, it's really hard to connect, like to really feel connected to that person, because you can't touch them. So how do you connect? You connect it's gonna sound corny, but you connect with your soul, you know? Like mm-hmm. you have to open up and you have to be honest and you have to really open up your emotions. And it's a different connection. It's this relationship, it's so different from any other relationship that I ever had. And I really think that has helped a lot to us, because we, like, I don't know, some people might think that we are crazy, but we are 110% honest with each other. Like, we say even things that people will be like, what are you saying that to him? Like, but that's the way we believe it has to be, you know, like, we both have had, relationships that turn out in cheating. You know, we were cheated by our partners and we really hate that. Like, we think that's so low. So I think it was from the beginning, right, Josh, that we just decided to just be 100% honest and open and don't hide anything and just be straightforward with things. And it has been really, like, I don't know, I love it. I really love it.
Yeah, it was since the beginning. And of course, our journey has changed a lot over the years because, you know, we started from being people that partake in drinking and those types of things to being completely sober. And so that's quite a transition for us personally, but it's also helped a lot with being sober helps us a lot to stay honest. And, you know, when you're drunk, you might do things that you don't remember or you wouldn't do if you weren't drunk. So we've chosen to abstain from alcohol and any kind of drugs because it puts the mind at ease of the other person. And it's really not necessary in our lives personally. So I don't know if that is something we should talk about, but.
No, I think that's really interesting. And it's not something we've ever talked about before or anyone's ever mentioned, but I can completely see the value in that. I mean, I know when people are long distance and you know your partner, you know, potentially on the other side of the world is going out with their friends for a night of drinking, you know, you can't help but think, oh God, what could happen? You know, even safety, first of all, something bad could happen. But yeah, also you're right. You don't always make the best decisions when you're under the influence of certain things. So I think that's really admirable. Not that everyone, you know, should feel that they have to do that, but whatever.
It's nice that you've got that respect for each other.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I think that's really, like I said, I never heard anyone say that, but I can see how, especially long distance, that trust is so much more, not more important. I think trust is always the main thing, but
you rely on it more.
Yeah, you rely on it more in long distance because you're not living in each other's pocket. You don't know, not that you want to sneak on each other, but you know, you just don't know what you're up to. And that's a really good way to show, I guess, how dedicated, you know, you are to something. So that's really, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, of course, it stems from me being having an addictive personality and needing to make that change for myself personally. But it also doesn't hurt at all, and it certainly helps our situation as far as the honesty is concerned. Because when I was using alcohol or other things, I wasn't honest with her. So since the beginning, we did want to be honest, but there were times that, you know, I was staying up later than I was, pretending like I was asleep. And those are the kinds of things that can tear a relationship apart. So it was sort of a necessary thing for our honesty for me to make that change personally. And then she did it out of solidarity for me. So it's been pretty, pretty amazing because the work that I've been able to do on myself has allowed me to have the creative expression and the ability to create. And that's really what I was missing when I was using substances, is I wasn't able to focus and create. I was stuck worrying about other things. So it's been helpful.
Well, that's something that's so important too. And like, and the act of G showing, you know, solidarity and supporting you and doing that with you. I think one thing we talk about a lot, whether you're in a long distance relationship or in a, you know, a normal non-distance relationship, is that, you know, you do have to take care of yourself and try to improve yourself and, you know, do the right things for your own body and spirit and mind, and not only for your own self firstly, but then also it makes you also a better partner, and you can be there for your partner more, and it makes you more valuable because you have more to give. So I think that's really important on both sides too.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good point.
So it was any other kind of benefits that you guys see, or things that, you know, you kind of make it a little bit easier knowing that you're not together, you feel in the long run you'll benefit from this distance?
Well, I think one thing is certainly evident, and that is that we don't have to spend time with online internet dating or Tinder or those kinds of things that can just take so much time away from your life and money that you spend on silly dates. I mean, it's been great to have somebody, even if they're far away. You know that you have somebody you can always rely on, and you don't have to look elsewhere. And it's been great. That's a positivity thing.
Yeah. Also, I do think that once you survive the distance, when you're together, I mean, I don't think there's something strong enough to make you or to ruin your relationship. You know, like you have survived so much by not being together, by making a relationship work over a phone, that once you're together, I mean, you have to make it work. Like, I think normal couples, they take each other for granted a lot of the times, you know, like they fight for the most stupidest things ever, and they just break up for like everything, you know, and they don't really work in fixing a relationship or in like trying to make it work with someone. And I think long distance relationship has taught us that, like how to maintain a connection, how to not give each other for granted, because we know that the time that we have together, like we can actually be next to each other,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. She cut out a little bit there, I guess.
Oh, sorry. My AirPods, they got discharged. But yeah, I think it's great for making you realize that you don't have to take each other for granted, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, so we closed the distance almost 9 years ago. Well, no, it probably was about 9 years ago. And
next month.
No, you were already with me in America.
But you moved.
Yeah, I moved in June 2011. But yeah, even, you know, now all that we went through and breakups and all kinds of stuff, you know, you're right. When you're with each other all day, every day, or can see each other as much as you want, you do start to forget. And I think we catch ourselves once in a while doing that, starting to take each other for granted. But it just takes remembering for 1 minute, you know, what the distance was like and how hard we worked to get together. And it really grounds you. And in, yeah, you think, oh God, why am I acting like this? This is stupid. Like, we're so lucky that we made this work. So it is a good reminder. And I think, you know, if you don't know how hard it can be, it's easy to take it for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But you said something earlier, G, that has kind of stuck with me through the whole conversation. You said when you first started talking on, what was the name of the app?
Smule.
Smule. It doesn't roll off the tongue now.
No,
you have to really try to say it.
You can see why we haven't heard of it.
Yeah, you can see why I can't remember it. But you said, you know, once you started talking, just the two of you, that, you know, it just kind of astounded you how much you had in common and how perfect it was and how easy it was to talk. And I think that's something that people who have never started talking to someone from a great distance, I think they just wouldn't get that, because it really is just shocking. And it's something that kind of, you know, I think the world stops for a second when you realize that there's someone on the other side of the world that you've never met, really no idea who they are at that stage. And yet you're so drawn to them and so many things have lined up that it almost makes it impossible not to have to try and pursue that and see what it's about. Because I know that when Rich and I were talking before we met, I had that. And then, you know, things didn't work out at one point. And I remember the first date I had after that, sitting across this guy at a table and just thinking, like, how, like, this guy is perfectly fine. Like, he's right here. And I don't feel that connection that I felt with this guy on the other side of the world. And I think that it really, there's something there, and it really does pull you in, and it just makes that connection even stronger once you open up.
Yeah, it's really weird. I remember I had, like, when we first started talking, it was like a very shock, like a huge shock for me, because like I said, I always saw the long distance relationship were for dumb people. So I was like, why am I feeling so attracted to this guy who doesn't even live in the same country that I am? You know, like, it was crazy, but I couldn't stop talking to him. It was something that pulled me to him, you know, like I couldn't stop thinking about him. I remember that when I woke up in the mornings, like, I checked my phone and just looking at one text from him was already made my day, you know?
Oh,
like,
I know that.
It was insane. Yeah. It was crazy. And of course, when I told my friends, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to the U.S. to meet him. And they were like, what are you doing? You're going to get murdered. You don't even know him. And I'm like, of course I know him. I sent him a video camera, okay? I mean, I know he's not a murderer. He's not a woman. So
everything else is fine.
It is crazy because usually, like Josh said, I'm a very rational person. So it's not like me to go to another country to meet someone. Like, that is something that I will never do. But in this case, I was like, I don't care, I'm doing it. You know, like, even though my friends were like, you're not going, I'm like, oh, I am going. Because I couldn't stop it. I really couldn't fight it. It's insane.
It's powerful. And you don't always get to choose, you know, who you love. And there is something about getting to know someone. Like you said, you share your soul. And it doesn't sound cheesy to anyone who's been through it before. Maybe to people who haven't, it might sound a little bit cheesy. But you have, I mean, to really get to know each other, you have to be that open and honest, you know, like you guys have been, which I think is a very wise decision, especially in the age of catfish, because we've been talking about, have you guys seen the Catfish TV show? I'm presuming you've heard of it.
I'm obsessed. I love it so much. I don't know why, but I love it.
Your silence scared me. I thought, oh God, they don't know what I'm on about. But no, I mean, you know, we started talking, I mean, WhatsApp wasn't even a thing. Facebook was barely a thing. You know, like, you know, we didn't even know that people could catfish. We knew that people could groom, you know, children and you know, get people in trouble. But like we said, when catfish became a thing, like, I'm so glad that this wasn't out when we met, because it would have really made me question things a lot more. But but the honesty and that openness, it does create something really special, I think, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting that. We're conscious we don't want to take too much of your guys' time, and time difference is a bit wacky for all of us. But thank you so much. Is there anything else, kind of any finishing words or a bit of advice
or anything you want to promote?
Shameless promo that you want to throw in there? On your website, it says you also love tacos, and I feel like we need to talk about that a little bit, because I live in England now for this guy, where there is serious lack of good tacos.
I feel for you. That is so sad.
Well, let me, as far as the tacos are concerned, let me just explain that I used to always love Taco Bell, and that is not real tacos. But for me...
No, but it's amazing still.
It is still really good. Yes. But a lot of people in Mexico, they would look at that and be like, that's trash junk food.
Yeah.
When I first went to Mexico and had my first real taco, it was honestly, it was like a life-changing experience for me, because it was incredible. I mean, her whole family was there watching me, and you know, I had to order the tacos myself. That was one of the conditions, that I had to order it in Spanish. So I learned how to order tacos, and I ordered the ones I thought I would like, and when they came out, I just couldn't believe that I was allowed to keep eating as long as I wanted to. Tacos are one of the best things in my life.
Yes. I get it.
I agree.
I grew up, so obviously better than Taco Bell, but probably not as good as authentic tacos from Mexico. But I grew up in Southern California, and just right along the Mexico-Arizona border in Arizona. So there's definitely lots of great Mexican food, a lot of Hispanic culture. And I married a guy who says quesadilla and taco and stuff like that. So it hurts.
We don't speak much Spanish.
No, you don't. Well, I mean,
like, when the whole world speaks your language, you can be arrogant.
You all go to Spain for vacation, though. Like, I know it's different.
And they speak English.
But there was a talk that I grew up in, well, part of the time I grew up in a town called Yuma, Arizona, right along the border. And every year there's a taco festival. And one of the times he was out in America spending time with us, you know, me and with a bunch of my friends, and I took them to the taco festival.
That
and
was a car festival, wasn't it?
No, it was the same place the car festival, and there was all these taco trucks and stuff, and it was amazing. And I made him order, and he's like, my accent isn't amazing by any means, but it's better than an Englishman, and it's what's in carne asada, and what's in polo. Just all this.
Yeah, because funnily enough, when we have L's, we pronounce them as L's. They're not fucking secret Y's. she thinks it's hilarious. I'm like, well, you put an O in that word.
We went to a Spanish restaurant the first time I came over here. And I know there's differences between the Mexican language and the Spanish language, but I assume they're more similar than English and Spanish. And we went to like a tapas Spanish restaurant and everyone's ordering the polo. And I was like, what are you?
Not polo, polo.
Polo. Oh, that's so much better.
Polo is one L, polo is two L.
I was like, I think you mean the pollo. And they're like,
yeah.
What? I'm like, it's pollo.
And then the waitress turns up and she's like, oh, you want the polo?
Yeah, but she was English. She didn't know anything. But
we're uncultured.
Yes, you are. But yeah, because you ran the world, everyone should just
do as we say.
Yeah, but there's a reason you lost the whole world. You don't own it
not
anymore.
Not because we don't speak Spanish.
Yes, it is. You need to have tacos and you need to speak Spanish and you would still be in power.
But before we let you go, can you inform everyone of your website URL? We will include it in the show notes as well, but for listeners and people who don't read that bit.
Sure. Yeah, it's www.sycamoretreedesign.com.
Perfect. Is there anything else you want to plug while you're here?
I think
we cover all of the topics that we wanted to. So yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with us. We've been looking forward to this.
We have. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We'll be on your website straight away too.
Yeah, I think I'll probably I'll be normal and I'll buy one. And then
if you get a mass order, it's probably
it's going to be him and lots of questions and requests. So and like, oh, could you just do it like that? Get ready. It's going to be a pain.
That's great. We love making new designs because making the same ring 40 times can get really monotonous. So if you want to throw something different in there, I'm all about it.
Thank you guys so much. And we really hope that you get everything figured out and that the world starts moving again soon so you can start figuring things out.
Thank you, guys. It's been a real pleasure for
us,
too.
Thank you. Absolutely. Take care. Have a good rest of your weekend.
You too. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.